Welcome back, everybody. Monday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford here on ESPN 850 WKNR. And Vic, as we wind down, let's head out to the left coast, right?
It's the left coast where he has been since last week, our good buddy and the co-host of this show, Nathan Zagura. How you doing, Nate?
I'm doing well. Getting excited to head to the airport so I can get back to Berea tomorrow and keep things rolling here just like the Browns are.
Yeah, and that's been something we've talked about quite a bit over these last couple of hours, Nathan, and different people weighing in. Terry Pluto of the Cleveland Plain Dealer giving his thoughts on how different things have felt from his standpoint. And I think the biggest thing for that's touching, resonating nationally, I'm sure you're seeing it out there as well, is the good feelings, the vibe that is being generated by the way this offense has played these last two games, and especially the way Brandon Weeden has handled things.
There's no question about it. I think it's one of the biggest stories of the offseason. And, you know, we had the good fortune of getting to see some of the things in practice before it translated onto the field. And it's very impressive. And I think it's one of the bigger changes in pretty much the entire football landscape this offseason is the perception of the Browns, not only for what they are doing as an organization, where I think the perception is now that it's very much first class top to bottom, but also that the players are coming up. And it just speaks to how important this change in regime and also the change in the coaching staff has been, because you've seen these guys be coached up so well by Rob Chudzinski and his offensive coordinators, obviously Norv Turner and Ray Horton. But yeah, Brandon Weeden right now, and yeah, you're right, I am far away from as far as you can be heading west in this country from Brandon Weeden and the Cleveland Browns right now, but a lot of people are talking about it. I know within the WWE, you have The Miz from Cleveland, Dolph Ziggler from Cleveland, Jerry the King Lawler, a huge Cleveland sports fan, and I had the opportunity to talk to all those guys. These guys are out of control with excitement right now, and I know I was just thinking Vic in the back of my head would be like, let's get a little perspective, so I try to manage some expectations, Vic. But I'll tell you what, it's very exciting right now, and it's one of those things you just want to see it keep going, keep the momentum going yeah. as they get ready this week for another exciting preseason game with the Indianapolis Colts.
Well, what a story it would be if Weeden comes on and has a big, big year, and hopefully that will happen for the Browns, because when you think about it, he fell into a tough situation last year nationally right. because Andrew Luck is off the charts great. RG3 then gets on a roll at the end of the year and leads the Washington Redskins, heroically he did it, on a bad leg, into the playoffs. And, you know, Russell Wilson takes the Seattle Seahawks along the way. And really, to some extent, Ryan Tannehill came out of the season probably with a little bit more of a glowing report card than Weeden did. So wouldn't it be something if Weeden, you know, comes on this second year as sort of the forgotten quarterback out of that draft?
It certainly would be, and I think one of the great points to remember is that Pete Carroll said, oh, look, I have Russell Wilson. I'm going to tailor what I do to Russell Wilson's uh-huh. strength. Mike Shanahan, same thing with RG3. Let's tailor what we do to RG3's strength. Ryan Tannehill played with his head coach from college at Texas A&M. Mike Sherman is his right. offensive coordinator, so he knew how to tailor that offense. That did not happen with Brandon Weeden. That offense was not tailored to Brandon Weeden's strength. This offense is, I think they made some very good moves in the offseason to bring in a Devon Best. I think you look at the weapons around Brandon Weeden with Josh Gordon, Greg Little, Best, Travis Benjamin, obviously Jordan Cameron flashing the ability we've all seen in training camp. Seems to be a great fit as the move tight end in this offense. And then, of course, Trent Richardson out of the backfield can catch the ball. So I think it's very possible that it will be that story. And it just makes you wonder what would have happened if Brandon Weeden's rookie year last year within this offense with this personnel.
Well, here's the next question, Vic and Nathan, I have to ask, because he's lost one of those weapons, okay? Because I think Deion Lewis was going to be a fun little toy for Weeden in that offense, and he was probably going to be a kickoff return guy. But let's deal in the offense. Can Brandon Jackson, now the next guy up, can he fill that role? Because he did it in Green Bay, didn't
right.
he?
And Nathan knows how I'm going to answer this question, because I've been a big Brandon Jackson guy right along, even as Deion Lewis has done all he's done, uh-huh. and I'm highly impressed and highly disappointed that we're not going to get to see that impact. I think Brandon Jackson's ready to step up. I think he has been in the mind of this coaching staff, and I've talked with the coaches, and the feeling I get from them is real confidence mm-hmm. that he's going to be an impactful number two back, as impactful as you can be behind Trent Richardson, who you know is going to be the dominant guy.
But I think I think it's a sizable role, don't you think, in importance and maybe even in plays on the field on a particular Sunday. I think you're going to be in there a lot. I think that, don't you think, Nathan, they're going to use that guy, and in this case, Brandon Jackson, to, you know, get Richardson out in some situations. And I know Trent doesn't want to come out, but at some point he's going to come out, and this guy's going to have to get out on the edge and maybe be a receiver who can get it and go, and maybe even carry the ball a certain amount of times. And Jackson did that. Lewis did it before he got hurt in the game last Thursday.
Yeah, and I think Brandon Jackson actually is very well suited to this, because when he was in Green Bay, as Vic was talking about, and I know he's one of Vic's guys, and he really has stood out to me at camp as well. He is a very fluid, very natural pass catcher. Back in 2009, he averaged 8.9 yards per catch. In his biggest season involved in the offense, he caught 43 of his 50 targets in Green Bay. So that's 86% for 342 yards, averaging 8 yards a catch, scoring a touchdown out of the backfield. So this is a guy for his career who catches pretty much every ball thrown his way. He's averaged 7.7 yards per catch. And then you look at him in this year in the preseason, 8 catches, 61 yards. 7.6 yards a catch with a touchdown already. Yeah. So I think he's showing the ability that he can be a reliable guy in the passing game. I know he's a good pass protector as well, had that experience working with Aaron Rodgers, obviously, in Green Bay. So this is one of those situations where somebody, I think Deion Lewis looked like he could be a little bit of a human highlight film, a joystick type player like a Darren Sproles.
Absolutely.
But you have Brandon Jackson, who's really seizing his opportunity and historically has proven he can handle that type of a role.
You know, Vic, in the production meeting 2 weeks ago, Rob Chudzinski did drop that, what you said, that, you know, hey, I'm going to tell you, you know who's having a great camp is Brandon Jackson. Yeah. Don't get lost on Brandon Jackson.
Right. He was feeling this way, again, prior to the injury to Deion Lewis. This isn't like suddenly like, well, he's all we have left,
right,
so we're going to fall in love with him. But they are challenged there, to say the least, guys, at running back, and they're challenged at offensive line, at guard, to see where they are. They've got the two injuries there that are going to force them to watch some young people, especially a Garrett Gilkey, and have to hang in there, guys, because they're not out for the season, Nathan. I mean, they've got to, you know, kind of let this ride for a couple of weeks with both Jason Pinkston and Sean LaValle, because they're going to be back.
Right, and you know, it's one of those situations where maybe these guys come back in week 3, so you have to open up the season without Josh Gordon and then also without one of your guards. The good news is the left side of the line, from Matt, obviously, to Greco, to Thomas, is very solid. I know there's been some talk about maybe moving Greco to the right side to kind of secure Gilkey if he has to start kind of in between Mack and Thomas. But I know North Turner wants to keep the left side of the line strong. And when you have one side of the line that is that strong, you can give a little bit of help. You can do things in your protection to help Garrett Gilkey out. But I thought he did pretty well. I watched the tape back. Obviously, he had a tough time with Ndamukong Suh, but who doesn't have a tough time with Ndamukong Suh? So I liked what I saw from him. And, you know, with where Pinkston was, I'm not sure Pinkston was really 100% ready to be in there week 1, to be honest, with his
He had to still
look
his way.
I don't know that it's a huge drop-off, and hopefully we'll get Pinkston back, get LaValle back. And Gilkey's going to get an opportunity to play on what should be a good line, returning four guys who started basically the whole year last year once Pinkston went down. Obviously, and Greco came in. So the line still remains a strength to me, and I think it's much easier to cover up a guard than it is to cover up a tackle.
Nathan, great, and we appreciate it, and we look forward to having you in studio tomorrow, my friend.
Oh, man, I cannot wait, Notorious VIC, to be back in the Dog Bowl. And Jim, always a pleasure to talk to you. Great stuff on the game this week. And looking forward to another week. We're just getting close to the start of the regular season, September 8th.
Thanks, Nathan.
All right, travel safe with your family back to Northeast Ohio. He is Nathan Zagura, co-host here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty. For Jim, this has been a blast.
It has, and I feel much better knowing that all those wrestlers are behind the Browns.
Yeah, it's a lot of support from some big guys. We want to thank Gerard Cherry for being part of the show, and Terry Pluto from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Want to thank Joe Cullen, defensive line coach for the Browns. Of course, Nathan Zagura, who was just with us. Thank you for your calls. And thank you to our outstanding producer, Dave DiNatale. We will be back with you again tomorrow on this show, same time, 1 to 3 p.m., right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty 4. The Hooligans are next on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.